Our first scripture reading this morning is going to come from Galatians. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, beginning at verse 23 and reading through verse 29, found on page 1063 of your Pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith is gone, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Our second reading will come from Galatians 5. We'll be reading first verse 1 of Galatians 5, and then we'll skip down to verse 13 and read through 25. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another and envying one another. It's the word of the Lord. We'll be celebrating the 4th of July this coming Thursday. It will be 243 years of our country's independence. The 4th of July is one of my favorite days in the summer. I always had to acknowledge that I very much enjoy being in Philadelphia on the 4th of July. As an aside, I remember when I was in high school, during the bicentennial, the 200th celebration of our country's independence, and one of the groups at our high school was sponsoring a trip to Philadelphia. They were going to be participating in a bicentennial parade. And they were taking the bus from Missouri all the way to Pennsylvania to be a part of that. And I wanted very much to go. Unfortunately, I was never able to go. But here I am, almost 43 years later, living in Philadelphia, the city where it all started, the city where the great story of our country's freedom started. We Americans, of course, are very much into freedom. Freedom is one of those words which we use a lot. We talk a great deal about freedom. And indeed, freedom is something that I believe is a part of almost every human heart. All of us, I think, have this desire deep down inside of us to be free. We have this desire deep down inside of us for freedom. Freedom, of course, begins the story of God's people. It's one of the initial stories in the Bible. You'll remember that one of the first great acts of God is that God liberates God's people from Egyptian bondage. And God liberates them not so that they can do anything that they want to do, but God liberates them, sets them free so that they can go and worship God. That's the message that God tells Moses to take to Pharaoh. Let my people go so that they can go and worship me. And indeed, that is one of the first things that the Israelites do after they leave Egypt is they go out into the wilderness and they build the tent of the tabernacle and they enter into the tent of the tabernacle and the presence of God in the smoke fills the tabernacle. And there in the tabernacle, heaven and earth become one. It's the vision of worship. Worship that God desires for God's people. And so freedom is never just freedom to do whatever we want to do, but freedom is always for something. And in the Bible, the freedom from the very beginning is the freedom to worship. Of course, the great American story is the story of unfolding freedom. Indeed, we are all of us blessed to live in a country where we enjoy so many freedoms. The freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, all freedoms that we sometimes take for granted. And yet I wonder sometimes if our freedom hasn't become more curse than blessing. I wonder sometimes if we haven't come to confuse freedom with self-indulgence, the freedom to do whatever we want, a freedom shorn from any responsibility or care for our neighbor or for anyone else. Someone suggested that perhaps the freedom that has gained ascendancy in our country is the freedom of me, the freedom of self-gratification and self-indulgence, the freedom again to do whatever we want. I was sitting in the office a couple of days ago. And this happens every so often. I mean, from the office, you can hear just about everything outside. And there was a vehicle that came through, and they were playing music. And the music was terribly loud. I mean, the bass was just, you know, beating, and the whole office was shaking like it was a small earthquake. But it wasn't the loudness of the music that was so unsettling. What was most unsettling was the lyrics that was coming through, very crude lyrics, totally impervious to anyone, impervious to the presence of children, impervious to the presence of elderly folks, just very crude and foul lyrics. And I was wondering, you know, who in the world would play music like that coming through, you know, during the middle of the day? With someone who I suppose was exercising their freedom to do whatever they want. Every year I always know whenever it's 4th of July is coming because there's someone in the community that starts shooting off firecrackers. They do it late in the night, not just, you know, the small firecrackers, but it seems like they find the loudest firecrackers they can find. And, you know, it's like they put them under a barrel or something. Boom, you know, and it's, you know, it takes place late into the night around 12 o'clock at night. Again, totally impervious to anyone who might be trying to get any sleep or anyone else. But it's, you know, just the freedom to do whatever I want to do. I could care less about anyone else. It's just my freedom, you know, the freedom of me. Maybe these examples are trivial, and maybe I'm just making a mountain out of a molehill, perhaps, but I think it captures our understanding of freedom today, the freedom to do whatever we want, the freedom of self-indulgence. And yet, we are reminded that if we have nothing else to do with our freedom, that's our idea of freedom, chances are probably pretty good that we won't be free for very long. In our text this morning, Paul is very much concerned with freedom. Not just any kind of freedom, of course, but with Christian freedom. Freedom, the freedom that you and I, as members of the body in Christ, have as belonging to Christ. One of the things that Paul wants the Galatians to know and wants us to know as well is that in the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have all been set free. We've all been set free from the forces and powers of sin and death. But Paul reminds us that Christian freedom is different from the freedom of the world. Christian freedom is not necessarily the freedom to simply do whatever we want. Paul reminds us that there are two ways that we can live our lives. One, he tells us that we can live our lives according to the flesh. And when Paul talks about the flesh, what he means is the tendency that we have as human beings to place ourselves at the center of everything. He's talking about the tendency that we have as human beings to be indifferent not only to the will of God in our lives, but also to be indifferent to the needs and concerns of our fellow human beings. He's talking, in other words, about the freedom of me, the freedom to do whatever we want. According to Paul, the freedom of me always leads to things like enmity and strife and jealousy and anger and quarrels and dissensions and factions and envy. And as I was reading that catalog of vices this week, I couldn't help but to think, my goodness, Paul's talking, well, he's talking about us. That sounds just like us. It sounds just like our country. Doesn't that sound like our country this morning? With all of the anger, with all of the dissension, with all of the factionalism, it's almost as if Paul was peering into a crystal ball deep into the future and was looking at we Americans in our American context with all of the dissension and factionalism and things that are going on with us as a nation, circa 2019. And Paul knows what this kind of lifestyle, what this understanding of freedom leads to. It leads to devouring one another and consuming one another. Be careful, says Paul, because if you continue to follow the freedom of me, that's what will happen. You'll end up consuming one another and devouring one another. Perhaps those are words that our nation needs to keep close to its heart. But the good news for all of us this morning, the good news for you and me, is that Paul reminds us that we have all been set free. We have all been set free from that. We've all been set free from the freedom of me. We've been set free from the flesh. We've been set free from quarreling. We've been set free from factionalism. We've been set free from anger. We've been set free from all of that. We've been set free. Of course, in contrast to the life of the flesh, Paul talks about something else. He talks about the life of the Spirit. Last week we talked a little bit about the unclean spirits that are operative in our world and how those spirits capture our hearts and our imaginations. They get inside of us. But Paul wants us to understand that real life, that real freedom is the freedom of the Spirit. And for Paul, freedom, Christian freedom, is not, again, just the freedom from something. But for Paul, freedom, Christian freedom, is the freedom for something. It is the freedom to be something. And what you and I have been set free to be is we have been set free to be human. We have been set free so that we might be human beings. Human beings made in the image of God. Human beings who are called to glorify God. That's what Paul wants us to understand. That we have been set free from all that makes us inhuman, and we have been set free so that we might be the creatures that God created us to be. Creatures made in the image of God. But perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, what does that look like? What does it mean for us to be creatures made in the image of God? What does it mean for us to be creatures who are called to glorify God in our very being? What does that look like? What does freedom, Christian freedom, look like? Well, Paul tells us this morning that Christian freedom is the freedom to love our neighbors. It is the freedom to love God, and it is the freedom to love our neighbors. It's the freedom to get out of ourselves, to take ourselves out of the center of everything, and to love God and to love our neighbors. It is the freedom that allows ourselves to have cultivated inside of us what Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of generosity, of faithfulness, of gentleness, of self-control, of joy, of peace, of kindness. And all of these things are not simply separate manifestations of the Spirit, but they are all part of what it means for us to be people of love. To love someone is to be gentle with them. It is to be kind to them. It is to be generous. It is to be faithful. To love someone is what it really means to be free. what it means to be human. None of that, of course, is easy. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't be free by ourselves, but it comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to add that none of us, it doesn't come to any of us immediately. To be free in the way that Paul talks about being free is something that requires time. It is a process. Freedom is always a process. It's something you have to live into. And that's true when it comes to our Christian freedom. I know for me, there are certain things where it has taken a little bit of time. Used to be a time when I wasn't as patient as I should have been with people. Used to be a time when I would get angry at people and would allow that anger to color the relationship. Something I knew that I would have to work on and wasn't ever quite sure that would be something that I could be delivered of. But through prayer and through opening my life up to the movement of the Spirit and by being a part of a community that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit over time, that has been something that has steadily been replaced in my heart. Anger has been replaced and impatience with people have been replaced, so that I find now that I have more patience than I used to have. I find now that the things that used to make me angry with people, that I no longer get as angry as I used to get with people. And it's only because of the humanizing work of the Holy Spirit blowing in my life. I was reading one writer, and they were saying that there's a test that we can all give to ourselves that will help us to determine how human we are. A test we can give to ourselves that can help us to determine how free we actually are. Free in the way that Christ has called us to be free. And the test is to ask ourselves who it is that we have cried for recently. Have you cried for anyone recently? Is there anyone who has touched your heart recently? And by crying, I don't mean necessarily crying for people who are close to us, crying for people who are part of our family, crying for people who look like us. You know, we all identify with certain people, and sometimes, you know, we have empathy for people who are like us. But who have you cried for recently who are different from you? Who has touched your heart? This week, one of the things that caught my attention, of course, was the children south of our border, our southern border. And I'm not interested necessarily in the debate about immigration, but certainly all of us this morning are human enough, or should be human enough, that our hearts go out to those children at the south of our border who are being detained. People without toothbrushes, without accommodations that we often take for granted. Children, talking about, not adults, but children. And it's not necessarily to blame our law enforcement officials on the border. I think they're simply overwhelmed by the magnitude of people who are coming across our border. But certainly to be human means that we can at least be touched by what is going on with them. that we could at least perhaps shed tears for them and for other people who suffer in our world. Who is it that you have cried for recently? Does the hurting and the pain around our world cause us pain and grief and sorrow? Or are we simply indifferent to the pain and suffering of others? Paul wants us to know that if we're going to be really free, if we want to really get out of ourselves, if we want to start seeing other people, if we really want to be free, we have to begin by getting out of ourselves, out of the shell of ourselves, the prison of ourselves, where we're constantly only thinking about ourselves, and start seeing other people. Because to be free is to be the creatures that God called us to be. It is to be people like God. And certainly the one of the things that we can say about God is that God sheds tears for all of us. Doesn't make any difference who we are. Doesn't make any difference where we live. Doesn't make any difference what the nationality. Doesn't make any difference what race we are. Doesn't make any difference what language we speak. Doesn't make any difference what side of the border we might be on. Doesn't make any difference what we might have done. God sheds tears for all of us whenever we find ourselves in positions of hurt and pain and suffering. So to be free is to be like God. To be free is to love one another. To be free is to be human. This week, again, we'll be celebrating our country's 243rd birthday. And perhaps the greatest gift that you and I can give to our country, especially now given the polarized state that our country is in, the greatest gift that we can give to our country is to let them see what real freedom looks like. Real freedom is not about how much we can consume. It's not about what we can buy. It's not about how many cable stations that we have access to. It's not the variety of cereal that we have to choose from when we go to the supermarket. It's not the vast array of clothes that we can choose from and buy. To be free, to be really free, is to love God with all of our hearts, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors. And when we do that, we show the world what it really means to be liberated and redeemed and free. We show the world what real freedom looks like. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come together this morning as your people, help us to be able to live into the life of freedom that you have called us into. Help us to find the strength and the power by your Spirit to get out of ourselves, to stop placing ourselves at the center of everything, so that we might be able to make room for you and to make room for our fellow human beings, especially our fellow human beings who are suffering. Lord, we ask that you go with us and that you help us as your people to be the light of the world so that the rest of the world, including our own country, will be able to look at us and see what it means to live as free men and women, blessed by you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.